Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Special technique of shadow boxing.
Yo, what's up? What's happening? What's good? This is the January 10th, 2021 episode of the Boxing Source Radio Show. I am your host, James Bell, the leader of the Boxing Source on social media. You can catch boxing articles through theboxingsource.net, and you can follow us on social media as we have a page through Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter at Boxing Source 2. And we are also on Instagram, The Boxing Source. And then you can also check us out through YouTube. We have a YouTube page there, so you could check out, you know, some different inputs on various topics over the course of the week there. So that's what you got there so far, man. Number to dial, 347-237-5539, 347-237-5539. Kick it on the show. I'm going to be talking about a few things here. You know, we have like a, you know, like a fairly down week, so to speak, as far as like, you know, the boxing scene. It's out there. There was like really no live action, you know, in the ring here over stateside. So, just, you know, wanted to talk about a couple of things that, you know, did go down. A couple of fight announcements that are happening there. So, you know, wanted to get on that. And also get on the discussion in reference to Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Tank Davis. So, yeah, we're going to, you know, just run through that here real quick. And a couple of other announcements that, you know, have been made, you know, over the course of the past couple of days there. So that's what the schedule is here so far. Just wanted to drop it. As you know, first off, you have the thing here with, you know, Adrian the Problem Broner. He's gonna be back in the ring, finally back in the ring, for the first time since his loss to Manny Pacquiao early in 2019. That was pretty much in January of 2019, and he will be fighting Pedro Campa coming in from Sonora, Mexico. The Sonora area of Mexico has had every fight of his professional career in Mexico, had a string of victories up until 2017, where he fought Carlos Jimenez, and he was stopped in the 7th round. So he had 27 consecutive wins, and then he got knocked down in the 7th round by Carlos Jimenez. So that's what we're looking at here with Adrian Broner and his opponent, Pedro Campa, man. I mean, you got Adrian Broner back. You know, it's seeing you know what he could be possibly doing, and because he had some issues, you know, out of the ring, you know about his you know court proceedings that he had to get that handled, and they were able to you know make some arrangements. There, so that, you know, he could at least get in the ring. You know, he had been in, contempt of court. But, you know, that was, you know, for a brief stint. And then he, you know, got out of that. So, you know, with him being, you know, released, you know, after, you know, being there in November, you had to see what was up with his situation after that, because he still, you know, had a few issues that he had to deal with there. So, you know, after, you know, being held in contempt of court, like, I think they had, like, some other arrangement, you know. So I don't even think that kind of... you know, that was kind of what we seen or we would have seen much out of him. So thing is that, you know, with that contempt of court, that was basically for, you know, Ferry to pay the damages that was from a misdemeanor assault charge, you know. That was for like $835,000. So he was released in November, and the next hearing is on February 3rd, which is very interesting because, I mean, this fight is going to be February 13th. So you're going to have him being in a court hearing 10 days before his fight against Pedro Campa. But I don't know if there's going to be some type of, you know, arrangement happening so that he could, you know, I guess, be there, I don't know, be virtually appearing in court or something, you know what I mean, or anything like that, you know. But him facing Pedro Campa, you know, that's the, you know, current situation that they got going on. Have to see, like, where they haven't really announced where this fight is going to be. But they did say that the fight would be on Showtime. And so you're going to have that fight be the, you know, the feature bout on Showtime. With the co-feature bout being a heavyweight fight between Otto All-In Wallin and Dominic Brazil. So that's going to be, I feel like that's an, you know, an interesting bout there, you know. So that's going to be one thing I'm going to watch out for, is that heavyweight bout, because you don't necessarily know, you know, what point they are going to be at their, you know, particular careers. So that's what I'm kind of trying to figure out here, how that card is going to be, you know, how that card is going to be set up. So that's what I'm looking at. And I mean, we'll see with, you know, Adrian Broner. That's going to, I guess, I mean, they have this thing going to be at the welterweight division with Adrian Broner. So, like I said, Pedro Campa has been basically in the super lightweight division, you know. So, being at super lightweight for pretty much the majority of his career, this is going to be him going up to the welterweight division in this fight against Adrian Broner. So It kind of looks like, I guess, what you would say, a get back fight there for Adrian Broner. And yeah, I just feel like it's just something to, you know, kind of like get him some dough or something. I mean, so, that's pretty much, you know, what I got, for it. In reference to that, there also is things here with the there's more announcements in the sport of boxing as far as like what's going on. One thing that did come up is that the situation with the WBC, I think it's a WBC bantamweight title, right? So you have this whole situation, you know, with the WBC bantamweight title last year. At the tail end of the year, we're supposed to have a WBC title bout between Nordine Ubali and Nonito Donaire. And what happened was that first, Nordine Ubali tested positive for COVID. And so, you know, after Ubali testing positive for COVID, they had to find an opponent for Nonito Donaire. That opponent was Emmanuel Rodriguez. And then Nonito Donaire got basically scratched off the card for COVID. So Rodriguez ended up fighting Caballo, and we know what happened in that particular fight. But even so, they named Ray Caballo the interim champ, and Ubali was the champion in recess, but now they have basically formally announced that Nordine Ubali is, you know, back full strength, and he is the full WBC champion. As far as like him having his next fight, that could be against Nonito Donaire so that they could reschedule the bout. And, as far as like the situation with Raymar Caballo being the interim champ, they might see if they could have a rematch between him and Emmanuel Rodriguez. That would be, very interesting to see if they could, jumping off there. But yeah, Nordine Ubali has, you know, recently been announced to have the championship, the WBC bantamweight championship back. So he gets that full title, and you know, he's gonna be seeing if he could defend that title. Maybe it'll be, yeah, like I said, against Nonito Donaire. Which, you know, could have happened in December, but that, of course, you know, with the positive tests of Ubali and then Donaire, that fight got scrapped. So you do have that as part of the news scene. Also, it's possibility that Josh Warrington and Ken Zhu could be fighting on February 13th. We have to, you know, get some confirmation on that to try to see if that'll happen. You know, this is through, you know, Matchroom Boxing's Eddie Hearn. Yeah, he wants to see if he could get in five shows within the UK there with the approval of the British Boxing Board of Control. So, so, I mean, you have that as part of his schedule. He also wants to see if he can also get in Alexander Povetkin and Dillon White, that rematch, to be part of that schedule as well. Because, I mean, you had Alexander Povetkin defeat Dillon White, you know, what was that, back in the end of August. And you're trying to see if they could schedule a rematch. It was scheduled for November, and
He had Alexander Povetkin test positive for COVID, so he tried to see if they could do a reschedule, and the reschedule was going to be in January, but for some reason, Povetkin is not ready to be in there for January. So we'll see if they could fit that in there for them. So, you know, they'll have that fight going. And, you know, that's one fight that kind of like shapes what would happen in the next tier, the second tier of the heavyweight division. Of course, you have the champions there, Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. Going to see what happens with Fury and Wilder, if that fight is going to take place. You know, I've leaned towards it taking place because, you know, there's just way too much money on the line for it, you know, not to happen. So you have that. And the thing with Anthony Joshua, he's, you know, kind of slated to, you know, see if he could defend against the WBO mandatory and Oleksandr Usyk. And there was a recent announcement that Oleksandr Usyk is not, you know, under Matchroom, you know, anymore. So there's that as far as, like, that heavyweight situation. But, you know, like I said, with Matchroom trying to get in about 5 cards within 2-month time span, that would be, you know, something for Matchroom to do. Like I said, with the, I guess it may end up being a unification bout between Josh Warrington and Kan Zhu, and then also the rematch between Alexander Povetkin and Dillian Whyte. So those are the, you know, pretty much the announcements that are out there so far here in the next go next few weeks or next month plus there. So, like, I mean, like I said, it really isn't, you know, that much action going on. You know, like I said, nothing really happening on the 9th. And for the 16th, you don't really have that much either, other than you do have the IBF, former IBF mandatory challenger, Carlos Ocampo. He is back in, you know, he's in Mexico, and he is fighting Abraham Juarez. He's, you know, only had that loss to Errol Spence, but of course he just got washed, straight up washed by Errol Spence. So, I mean, he's back at it, but the next week you do have, that's the 23rd, Angelo Leo against Stephen Fulton. You know, for the WBO Super Bantamweight Championship, you know, with Angelo Leo getting that win over Tremaine Williams, as Tremaine Williams was a replacement for Stephen Fulton for that original date that they were supposed to fight, as Fulton had been out with COVID. So, you know, that's pretty much the schedule there for the 23rd. That's going to be in, you know, Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut. The other bouts on there is Vic Casillas against Rais Salim. That's going to be there at Super Bantamweight. Both fighters are undefeated. And you also have Rolando Romero going up against Justin Pauldo in that fight card. So that is the, you know, that's the basic schedule that's out there, man. You know, that's what's going down right now in the boxing scene. You know, the other thing that, you know, I kind of seen around these was around these parts is that, you know, they want to see if they could build up this potential fight between Gervonta Tank Davis and Ryan Garcia. And the thing is I'm not sure if that fight is going to happen this year. It's pretty much, you know, kind of like a stretch. Of course, you had Ryan Garcia defeat Luke Campbell last Saturday. You know, he was able to get a stoppage victory there. Gervonta Tank Davis, you know, did have his, you know, win over Leo Santa Cruz at the end of October last year. So they want to see if they could build that particular fight to be a good and pay-per-view level fight. But it may take some time to, you know, get that, you know, situated, particularly when you had the thing for, you know, I would say Tank Davis being at, you know, having a pay-per-view, and then the thing with that is like how much he could, you know, probably garner in a fight against Ryan Garcia. And of course, Ryan Garcia going off the momentum of his fight with Luke Campbell. And, you know, if you follow trends on social media and YouTube and things like that, like, you know, Ryan Garcia's, you know, been was the top trending, you know, guys, I guess I would say, on YouTube. Like two of the three top videos that were trending on YouTube were of Ryan Garcia and his win over Luke Campbell, getting, you know, 8 to 10 million, you know, clicks or views off of that. So goes, you know, a couple days after that, he's, you know, on Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, you know, talking with Mike Tyson, and they had the thing where they did a FaceTime with Gervonta Tank Davis, and they're saying like, yo, hey, we're gonna get it going, you know, get it on or whatnot, and you know, wanna see if we can get, you know, have that fight happening. So I just feel like you know, we'll see if that fight does take place. I just feel, me personally, I feel like both of them are going to have a fight in the interim. I feel like Ryan Garcia is going to face someone like Jorge Linares, and Tank Davis will have somebody that, you know, he'll be fighting at 130 pounds, pretty much according to Leonard Ellerbe, because Leonard Ellerbe says that even though Tank Davis holds a world title at 130 and 135 pounds, he looks like he'll still be campaigning at 130 pounds here for at least for his next fight. He's going to be campaigning at 130 pounds. So we'll see how that, you know, works out for him. Like I said, I just didn't think that he would be, I didn't think he would be making 130 pounds against Leo Santa Cruz, but he was able to do it. And, you know, with him doing that, you know, he pulled it off where he defended the 135-pound title and won the 130-pound title that Leo Santa Cruz had. So he's a multi-division champion at the same time there. But we'll see if he is eventually going to go up against Ryan Garcia. So we'll see how that works out. I mean, yeah, like I said, with the thing with Ryan Garcia having the momentum of his win over Luke Campbell in Texas, and then, you know, after that, kind of like building towards him getting a fight against Gervonta Tank Davis, which, you know, would be a very interesting fight here in the States. So, I mean, I want to see if that jumps off here. Real quick, want to get in, caller in from the 205 area code, joining in live on the Boxing Source Radio Show. What's good?
What's going on, James? Called out of Atlanta. How you doing, man?
Doing okay, man. Doing okay. Just, not really, you know, any action happening this weekend. kind of like a little bit of a downtime as far as like any live events are going. So, you know, I'm kind of like talking about, you know, thing with Adrian Broner. Them announcing that he's hitting in the ring February 13th against, you know, somebody that, you know, not many people would probably know at all. I'm just being straight up with it. So it's like, yeah, how is that, you know, how do you think about that situation? Because, you know, Broner was kind of like slated to, you know, maybe face you know, somebody else there for that particular date, but it didn't, I guess that fell through, so they put Pedro Campa in as his opponent, who is somebody that, first off, has only fought in Mexico, and second, has had the majority of his career at 140 pounds, and this is going to be at 147. So instead of fighting Ivan Redcatch, Adrian Broner is fighting Pedro Campa.
And I'm sure he's slated to beat this guy pretty easily. That's what you said, right?
Yeah, pretty easily, to say the least, yeah.
I mean, Adrian's last few fights, maybe the last three fights, have been losses to upper-tier, quasi-upper-tier opponents. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah. Yep.
So I think that he do to get a confidence fight, you know. I don't think that psychologically, like, do I want him to fight somebody who we know he's going to beat? No. But psychologically, I think that this is needed. You know, like, he can't psychologically fight somebody where we kind of know he's probably going to lose based off of his tendencies, which is not to throw many punches and, you know, do that for 3, 4, 5 times in a row and then get 5 losses in a row. I think, you know, you got to do something to get fighters out of slumps. I don't like it, but I think it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, he's been, you know, he hadn't won a fight since, you know, 2017 against Adrian Granados. Like, he lost to Mike Garcia and Manny Pacquiao and ended up having a draw against Jesse Vargas, man. So, yeah, he probably does, you know, need a confidence booster type of fight. There before he's, like, I guess, put in a position to fight someone else there at welterweight. So, you know, him having this fight against Campa, you know, like I said, it's going to be easy. Should be easy work for him. It'll be on Showtime. And, you know, people will be out there, I guess, to watch him, you know, because he's, you know, pretty much been a draw, even though it's, like, kind of like a thing where, you know, he may get some eyes that want to see him lose, but in this particular case where he is highly favored to win, that, you know, that may not be the case there. You have a co-feature bout initially I put on here. It'll be in the heavyweight division, Otto Wallin against Dominic Brazil. Dominic Brazil, you know, hasn't fought since the Deontay Wilder fight. Going up against Otto Wallin, you know, former challenger to Tyson Fury. Had his fight against Travis Kaufman. Was able to get that win there. You know, stop his victory there. So, you have two fighters there in the heavyweight division that are pretty much at the point of their careers to see, like, you know, where they're at. Could Otto Wallin be back on his way up in the heavyweight division, or, you know, Dominic Brazil, you know, on his way down? So I feel like that's a good fight given the circumstances for both fighters.
Yeah, it's definitely a good fight, but I think we got to put an asterisk on it. And the asterisk is simply, when people fight Deontay Wilder, they don't leave the fight the same. I mean, obviously Tyson Fury won that first fight, but Deontay Wilder didn't leave that fight the same. But all I'm saying is, typically, if we look at pre-Deontay Wilder, post-Deontay Wilder, people fighting Deontay. If we look at a person before they fought Deontay Wilder and after they fought Deontay Wilder, typically, after they fight him, their jaw is a bit more susceptible. Their armor has a lot of, you know, kinks in it, whatever the correct word is. Got a lot of flaws and holes. And that could be against anybody. Even I think Luis Ortiz got hurt by somebody that he eventually beat. But, you know, this was post-Deontay Wilder. Nobody the same. Bermain Stiverne, never the same. You know, Tyson Fury was the only one who seemed to – but, you know, Deontay Wilder didn't land no shots on him in that second fight. So it'd be interesting to see how he responds if when somebody does land a shot on him, Tyson Fury that is. I just think that Brazil might not be the same, and it might be a reason that he hadn't fought in how many years?
It's been almost two. That's been, what, about – it's going to be about like 20 months.
2 years. There's a reason. Well, COVID. Okay, we can give him COVID to 2020. But it's a reason why he didn't fight for that whole other year. You know, there's a reason for that. I just, you know, I like Bermain Stiverne. I think Bermain Stiverne gets more output from what he has on paper. And with that being said, if he's backed up in the corner, he behaved like a Wolverine. He come out fighting, and you know what you're going to get from him. He's going to try to win. Even in the Anthony Joshua fight, he was trying to win. Was he a little scared? Yeah, he was. If he would have had a bit more, like, I can win this, the fight might have been a little different. If Anthony Joshua would have been the guy he is now, where people see that, like, shoot, all I really got to do is jab this dude and just, you know, I got to look at the fight again to see what the plan was because I don't remember. But there's a certain thing that you only got to do to him. Get him in the low, he get in the low, and then you hit him with that big shot because he, you know, don't move his head. I think Brazil could have at least hit him, which he did hit him. But, yeah, I just question if Brazil going to be damaged. And then Wilding is 6'6" what?
He's about 6'3", 6'4".
Okay, 6'3", they about the same height, man. So, okay, that's fine. Was Wilding the one who could box pretty well?
I mean, he could box pretty well, but, you know, he kind of, like, was in a, you know, rough scrap with Tyson Fury. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, he made it rugged for Tyson Fury.
But, yeah, he was, like, working on his you know, boxing skill a bit with Travis Kaufman, though.
Yes. Yeah, what do you think about Brazil? You think he'll be damaged goods coming into the fight?
Yeah, I think he's going to be supremely rusty. It wasn't like, you know, he, you know, it wasn't like he was, like, very sharp, you know, to begin with, you know. So, I think that he's going to be, you know, in a sluggish type of state. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he could be susceptible to being caught right now. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of leaning towards, Otto Wallen getting this one, you know. So, yeah,
well,
I'm kind of like looking out for seeing what happens with that, man.
If they get in the scrap and what's-his-name's chin is still in the vicinity of of what it was, then he'll win. If they get in the scrap and his chin is anywhere in the vicinity of, you know, like, you'll knock him down that first shot. He always get knocked down that first shot, and then it's like he got to get knocked down before he wake up and be like, all right, I got it. It's me or you. And then he starts swinging to hit you, you know, whereas at first he just sort of like going through the motions, and then once he like, oh, crap, this dude about to knock me out, I gotta swing and make him feel it, you know. I think he's always the most dangerous. He hurt. There has not been any fighter that has hurt him that during those moments he didn't hurt back. Did he hurt Anthony Joshua? I feel like he hurt Anthony Joshua in one of those moments. Don't quote me, but definitely he hurt Deontay Wilder when Deontay Wilder had him hurt. If you remember, it was the African dude that he fought that it was like one of them UFC cards. What's his name?
Yep. It's
but that was like
one, Gano.
Yeah, it could have been like fight of the year. That guy, like, that was a crazy fight. And everybody else he's fought, like, there's not been a fight where he didn't get hurt and then he didn't hurt the person right back because he's most dangerous when he hurts. Now, if you're a boxer and you can stay away, which I think that's what eventually happened with Anthony Joshua, where he hurt him and then kind of stayed away and then just, you know, pounced on him when he wanted to. If you can do that, then yeah, you'll be okay. But if Wilder trying to have a fight that he had with Tyson Fury and they go blow for blow, I'm going to put my money on Brazil, because Brazil typically win those type of fights.
Yeah, because like you said, I mean, he does have some type of thing where, you know, if he's hurt, he really, you know, kind of like go balls to the wall or something like that, you know what I mean? You know, he's had a fight against Ugano. He got knocked down by Amir Mansour. You know, he had the thing with Eric Molina as well. You know, that was on the undercard of Wilder Brazil too. So, so yeah, like Brazil is, you know, prime to, you know, being a couple of good little scraps. But the thing about it is that, you know, he really shouldn't have like that type of thing against some of these guys, because he's there at 6'7", and going up against, you know, it doesn't have to be against like a Deontay Wilder or somebody like that, but Eric Molina and, you know, Amir Mansour, like, those guys are, you know, not as tall and, you know, don't really, you know, have like a thing where they use their jab or something like that. So if Brazil had worked on that and was consistent with it, then he would be much more successful against those guys. Yeah, he got some wins against some of them, but he struggled first before getting those wins. So I'm like, he will have to work on that a little bit against someone who, you know, is, you know, on his way up, you know, is working out there in the New York area right now, in Otto Wallen, that's, you know, training. You know, he's going to be training in New York for this fight. So yeah, I feel like, you know, even though, like, you know, Brazil is only has those two losses to, you know, Wilder and Joshua, like the other guys that he's fought, you know, he's not like really looked impressive, very impressive against a good number of those guys. So that's the thing about it, you know. But yeah, that's kind of like what's shaping up for. That's like next month. But, you know, this month, like I said, you really don't have that much action out there. You know, I think, you know, in a couple of weeks, they'll have something over in Uncasville with Angelo Leo against Stephen Fulton. You know, kind of we're talking about I was talking about the thing with Ryan Garcia being on the podcast with Mike Tyson, and they ended up talking with Gervonta Tank Davis on FaceTime during that podcast, and you know, they've been trying to build up like they're going to fight. And, you know, it's kind of like a sketchy slope because one thing that did kind of happen was that Ryan Garcia kind of said that he was talking with Al Heyman. And usually fighters don't really publicize that they talk with Al Heyman like that. So I guess he has to slow down on that type of eagerness before a fight of that magnitude does happen. But I'm not sure. I don't feel like it's happening next, like I said last week. But, you know, I feel like they're trying to build it up, though.
So you don't think he actually talked to him, or you think he just don't know how to keep his mouth shut when he's talking to him?
Nah, he feels like he don't know how to keep his mouth shut. Like he's too hyper when it comes to something like that. You know, it's things where fights get made with fighters or whatever it is, and a lot of that stuff happens, you know, behind closed doors. They don't, you know, try to publicize everything. You know what I mean? So that's what's you know, happening with this. It's like you don't want to completely announce all the details or anything happening out in public like that. You know, because you don't know. There isn't like anything solidified with that. So yeah, you got to be careful with it. You know, so. So I mean that's you know, that's part of like what's going down here in the boxing scene. I kind of like said that that you might have a unification bout between Josh Warrington and Ken Zhu, but also there was a potential thing with Teofimo Lopez. Like, looked like the IBF had announced that they want to have him have his mandatory defense, you know, but that fight might not happen over in Australia because it looks like they're having a whole little another spike with the with COVID-19. So they were initially, they were trying to see if they could make that fight happen over in Australia because that's where George Kambosos is at. But if they can't have, you know, a full capacity out there, then they may have to, you know, put that thing on hold there. So if that's the case, then it could be a slight opening for Teofimo Lopez to fight Devin Haney there, who is the WBC lightweight champion. So, so that's the thing, man. I mean, you have, you know, Teofimo Lopez there, WBC franchise champ. Devin Haney there, the actual WBC champ. And you have the WBC president, Mauricio Suleiman, kind of like giving mixed messages as to, you know, who should be recognized as a WBC champion. So I say, why not have that happen? You know, even though Teofimo Lopez did step up to Eddie Hearn and say, hey, I want to ask for $10 million to, you know, find to fight Devin Haney. So, you know, why not make that, you know, make that happen? I don't know if it's going to be for $10 million, though, but why not, you know, have that, you know, be discussed at the very least, you know what I mean? If you're not going to have Teofimo Lopez fighting George Kambosos, why not have that Haney fight? You know?
So Teofimo and Devin Haney, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
That would be too hard to I mean, he fought a live body. I mean, he got his belt from a live body. I was going to say smart tummy, but yeah, fighting people who can take your belts from you is probably it's like when people was in school, you know, people are afraid to try because they're afraid that they're going to lose their A versus if they tried their hardest. It'd be nice to make an A, but if you tried your hardest, you should feel good whether you made your A or B or your level of C if you make a C, you know? I think that's what this is. People, they got, it's like they're afraid to make mistakes and lose what they have as a result of placing too much weight on the outcome. Oh, I got these belts. I'm pound for pound. I'm the, what do you start calling himself? Tell me he wants $10 million and stuff, which is ludicrous.
Well, I mean, he believes in himself, and I mean, it's supposed to be the takeover, man. And I think you got, you know, someone on the line that's, you know, part of the, you know, takeover team, man. Should be from the 267 area code. You know, what's up, man? We're talking about Teofimo Lopez.
Hey,
God damn.
What's good, y'all?
Oh, my goodness, yo. I'm just watching the thing, what just happened on the, NFL joint, man.
Hey, yo, so I've been an avid takeover guy, but I can say after his victory, I don't really like his energy.
What does that mean?
Okay, so when pursuing Vasyl Lomachenko, he was like for all the smoke. Afterwards, now I'm hearing I'm the man, I'm the A side. I want $10 million. I want $10 million to fight that guy. He don't want to fight me. Oh, he's 3 or 4 years away, but they scared of me, and it's two all over the place. Where before it was Lomachenko, I want the best. So I don't know what's going on with the WBC. That rule is effectively ruining boxing. And if I was Devin Haney, I would throw it in the trash because you're paying sanctioning fees for no reason. Nobody respects your belt because the WBC made it that way.
Made it that way. Either that or I'd sue.
That's a big one.
So
and
to
I
me,
it is. I mean, like, the thing is, like, with Haney, he's kind of defended a version of the belt, you know, at least, well, he's defended the WBC title once, but he was like, you know, well, actually twice, because that other fight that he had when he got injured, he was actual WBC champ. So, at least with those two fights, he, you know, he's paid a percentage of his purse due to sanctioning fees. So I'm like, you know, if the WBC is treating it like he's not really the full champion, then I'm like, come on.
Yeah, that would be frustrating. I want to speak to Jamil's point. I said exactly what you said, but I said it in different words. Like, and I agree with you 3,000%. Like, the energy, I don't like his energy either. It's like what I literally just related it to was somebody like trying to, you know, in school, grade school, trying to get that A. And then now they at the level, you know, before the report card come out, where the A come out, but they afraid to do stuff because now they at that level with the A and they don't want to mess up now. You know, it's just like, you're right, the energy was so different. And now since he has that, it's like, he afraid to do something to mess up it. When at the end of the day, what really matters is the effort, the you know, like the out, like what you actually output, not the perception of what your output is.
Yep.
So that's pretty annoying.
The thing that gets me right is him and his dad is under the impression that beating Lomachenko was enough. they're under the impression that beating Lomachenko made them a superstar. It hasn't.
$10 million.
You have to take care of Yet Era's guys. Ray Leonard took care of all them dudes. Tommy got some of them. Hagler got some of them. Ray Leonard took care of everybody. Everybody got that smoke. If you want to look at the era of the heavyweight in the 90s, you can say that Evander got a piece of everybody because he had that draw with Lennox Lewis. But they all fought each other except for, you know, Lennox and Bo, that debacle. But you got to fight those guys. You can't just fight the aging champion, and because you beat him, all of a sudden, now you're just beyond reproach. It don't work that way.
Right. Yeah, you can't have like the holier than thou type of, you know, attitude, you know, after, you know, getting that win. So you gotta be able to continue to challenge yourself, man, and. You know, kind of like dismissing the likes of, you know, Devin Haney and, you know, all these other guys. That's not a good look.
Now, I need to address this, and I'm going to just let y'all rock out. I'm getting tired of Rolly Romero. Right?
Oh,
So, I got it. Okay, so the dudes at lightweight, I feel like they have a lot of talent. Ryan, Tank, Teal, Dev, a lot of talent, a lot of ability. I see all those guys being on the cusp of being a Hall of Fame fighters. Rolly, like, bro, Rolly is the most annoying dude on planet Earth. Like, bro, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to watch you fight. I don't want nothing to do with you. You are god awful. Like, Rolly is ass. Rolly is at, I'm not talking about the little cute perky ass. I'm talking about a big old pooper ass. Get off of my TV screen, yo. I don't even want Rolly to get better. I don't want, like, oh, well, I want to see if he develops. Nah, I just want him to go away. Just go away. I hate his voice.
So,
go away.
So I guess you're not gonna watch him in the co-feature to Angelo Leo and Cool Boy Stephen Fulton, man.
Bro, I would literally watch. I'm not even paint dry. I would literally watch flowers grow. I would watch flies. Before I watch Rolly Romero, I watch Flies on Shit before I watch Rolly Romero.
I will watch water go through in a lake.
Yes. Yes. Rolly Romero.
He's supposed to be up there with those lightweights and on the other side you got people like Tank and Shakur Stevenson clowning him.
Because everybody knows he's ass. Only person that ain't figured it out is, no, Floyd knows he's ass. Floyd knows he's ass. The only person that ain't figured out that he's ass is Rolly.
Yep.
Like, did you hear him talking to Bud? Did you hear him talking to Bud? And I'm just looking like, bro, just stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
I didn't see him talk to Bud. But I'm almost sure Bud was like, if I argue with him, it would be difficult for people to tell who the fool is in this scenario, and I'm arguing with a bum. So I already know that he responded in a way that was like I can't even, you know, lions don't care about the opinion of sheep. He responded
Bud,
in that way.
Bud wants to fight him. Like, he said, I want to beat your ass. You're disrespectful. Like,
and that's my problem with Bud.
He called up Floyd. He called up Floyd and said, yo, I want to spar him. Like, I want you to make that happen.
Okay, spar is fine. Don't be talking about fighting him in a paid fight.
No. Oh, no. I'm talking about when I say fight, I meant like, no, he just wants to put hands on him. Not, it's beyond boxing. You can tell Bud was really annoyed by this kid.
Yeah. So my thoughts on Rolly Romero is, as you said, when I saw him fight, he's not that good of a fighter. It seemed like Floyd had, and this is only my cursory knowledge of Mayweather promotion, but a lot of people who are there who aren't very, very good, and then he got three or four people who you know, who are the dogs, like Badu Jack, you know, was one of the dogs there. Javonte Davis is under Mayweather Promotions, obviously him. Who else? There's like two more people. But if you liken him to everybody else, like what's the guy on Mayweather Promotions that Badu Jack fought, but they actually fought to a draw?
Who are we talking about?
He like literally lost most of all his bigger fights.
Jay Leon Love?
I don't think he.
Jay Leon Love.
Yeah.
Rolly's worse than Jay Leon Love.
Yeah. I'm saying Badu Jack and Jay Leon Love fought to a draw, right? No,
I don't think so. I think that was him and James Miguel.
That was him and James Miguel.
That was James Miguel?
I got to stop you right there. Jay Leon Love is better than Rolly, bro.
Yes, he is. But I'm comparing him to...
Oh, okay.
Yes. It's relative. Let's do relative numbers. So, Bobby Jack, Jay Leon Love. No comparison. Y'all sure? Let me... I got to look up Bobby Jack on fight... whatever. Because I couldn't swan Bobby Jack fought him. But all I'm saying is, Floyd got him one guy who's in that division who's, like, pretty good, but then all the rest of them, okay, I'm wrong.
Ooh.
Yeah, because he had that draw against Adonis Stevenson where he should have won that fight.
Yes, but okay, let me take it back. Jaylen Love fought higher to a draw with somebody else, but like he fought above himself.
Oh, who did he fought? Yeah, he fought somebody that was good.
And he tied him.
I got young boys right now in Philly that only got two and three fights that are dog walk Rolly.
I'm wrong, though, because I don't see it on his record.
I got not fear dog walking Rolly.
Oh yeah, yep.
I got Steven Ortiz dog walking Rolly. I got Rasheem Jefferson dog walking
him. Oh yeah.
A kid Rolly who's
had
an amateur,
no answer for Rasheem Jefferson.
A kid who's an amateur Jabril Noble dog walk Rolly. Like I seen him give Shakur problems.
Shoot, Who is he? 126. To the
point where Shakur wouldn't let him out the ring. He wanted. He said, "Oh, you think you good? Nah, you gotta give me two more rounds."
Yeah, man. Rolly's just not. He is just not the business at all. Like, man, I mean, I could probably get, Haven Brady out there to work him, man. But yet Romero's still, like, floating around like he's, you know, the goods or whatever it is. And I'm like, nah, bruh, that ain't it. Man, you ain't it, you know. So, hey, I don't know what his issue is, man.
I mean, I think he's doing the smart thing. If I was in front of a mountain lion, I would like make a bunch of noise and like make myself bigger. So, I think that Yeah, I think he's doing the right thing. Like, it's not going to go far, but you see the recipe. Everybody else make a bunch of noise and yep and bark. You know, they do that little barking and they get a bunch of likes on Instagram and stuff like that, and they get fights. So why not him try?
I mean, he can try it. It's just that he just ain't, he ain't going to get that far with it, though.
Roby Romero's ass, and he needs to go away. With every fiber of my soul, you know. He needs to
but
go away.
But I think
away.
Floyd is smart enough to know to let him bring whatever confusion he can and then get a nice little payday. Because otherwise, how much money do you think Floyd's going to make off this guy?
To be honest with you, he may end up making money because the kid's so annoying, people are going to pay to see him get his ass kicked.
Yep.
Like he's annoying, you know. And when you're going to watch this bud, I want you to look it up. You're going to listen to this kid, and you just be like, he got one of them faces that you just want to punch.
One of them punch him in the face in a moment.
Yeah,
man.
Just one of them dudes that you just got to punch him in the face.
Oh,
in the
man.
Face.
I...
In the face, like in Coming to America. In the face! just square up and just mollywop him.
Yes, it's just funny, man, because he... Yeah, it's just like he just looked like he's talking way too much, man. Hold on, I'm like listening to this right now. What is this? You would never just say what you want. I would have Oh, I don't know if y'all are listening now. Yo, what is up with this dude, man?
Oh my, come on, bro.
He's like, yo, I just want to teach you a lesson, man.
Yes.
Yeah, it should get him out there to Omaha or Colorado Springs or something like that right now to get Romero get beat down or something like that, you know what I mean?
And the thing is, you everybody knows the type of guy Bud is. He means it. He said it to him. He means it.
Yep.
And he called Floyd up. Floyd made them, because they had a camera on behind them that was recording it. Floyd made them, as soon as they called them, turn the camera off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He knows,
that,
he knows damn well.
What's his name? Ellie? Who was it? Ellie was with Floyd?
I don't know who was actually filming it. Might have been an LGBT guy. I'm not sure. But Roly just needs to stop talking. He just needs to humble himself. Like, it's not even talking to the point that you try to hype the fight. Like, I think Roly actually believes what he's saying, and that's even more dangerous.
Yeah, that makes it even worse for him. Like, I'm like, he can't even be in there with the likes of like what's his name? Primetime Chris Colbert, man. Chris Colbert would break him down and wash him, man. Like,
Autumn, dude, that I just, kid, Jack. What's his name? Jackson Marinas outboxed the shit out of Roby.
Yeah.
He got a big fight. I think he's fighting Comey, right?
Who, Marin is? Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they set him up for I think they set him up for Comey, man. That's going to be that's February 13th. Yeah. And that's going to be a pretty busy weekend then. Yeah, he's co-feature for Joe Smith against Vlasov for that belt. So, yeah. But for some reason, like Romero, it's like he feels like he can't be touched by anybody. You know, so.
Yo, does anybody notice what's going on between Shakur Stevenson and Buddy McGirt?
Oh, I didn't follow that, man. I didn't even follow that. Cause they were saying Buddy just didn't give Shakur that much, props or anything like that, man. And Shakur kinda like went off.
Said he's a protective fighter, and I actually agree, because I feel like all the other young guys are getting geeked about who they're fighting, but notice we never mentioned Shakur. People get on Tank, people get on Dez, people get on Ryan, people get on Tio, and Shakur just skates by, fighting guys that you've never heard of, a day in your life. And then everybody answers all the eye tests, or, oh, he's so defensive, or nobody wants to fight him. But who, like, he was at 126, right? He wanted to fight Josh.
Yeah, Stevenson was at 126.
He never even mentioned Derek.
Nope. Well, somebody had the name drop. Name drop Garrett to Shakur Stevenson last year. I ain't gonna say no names, but yeah. Outside of that, he really didn't mention Gary like that. I mean, he was trying to go after Valdez, but that fell through. And then the whole thing with Warrington, that kind of was sketchy, because at first people thought, like, the thing with Warrington fell through because of Warrington getting from, Queensbury Promotions and Frank Warren to Eddie Hearn and Matchroom. But then later on, we find out that it was Andre Ward that kind of nixed that whole thing from happening, man. So, and even then, I mean, he only had that one fight at 126. He didn't even defend the title. He just had the belt when it was vacant, and then he ended up moving up. He's had two fights there. So, after that, he's been, back and forth on the whole thing with the social media. Like I was saying earlier, he's been talking with Tank Davis, those two going on, Roland Romero, but. Like you're talking about thing with Buddy McGirt. I mean, he said on Twitter yesterday, "What his fat, bald-headed ass was a decent fighter, but sorry, every fighter I see him work with end up losing and then losing again. I don't see him working with no special fighters."
And what they got to do, and what they got to do with what he said about you, though?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Let's check the resume real fast, bro. And I think the kid can fight, but I think people overrate him. But let's check the resume. So, he's a silver medalist, 15-0, 8 knockouts, right? He fought Tokatan Cleary. Who is that? Felix Caraballo. Who's that? Joet Gonzalez. Another prospect. Who's
this bio, Joey Gonzalez.
Alberto Guerrero. Who's that? Christopher Diaz. That was a good win. but Christopher Diaz is a contender level. You know what I mean? He's a guy.
J-A-G, just a guy.
Yeah, Justy's just a guy.
Them Jags. They call them Jags. So, yeah, Chris Diaz.
Like, we forgot.
Yeah,
he lost to Ito.
Rosales.
He lost to Ito, remember?
Yeah. And that was at a higher weight class, yeah. But, like, I mean, they put him up against, you know, some of these guys that supposedly have experience, but they really don't have any, you know, big fight success. So that's the thing about it is, like, are we going to see Stevenson against the likes of those guys like a Valdez or, you know, a Burchelder, you know, anything like that? He wants those fights, but you got to see what he does against those guys.
Thing is, man, people can't really say that it's promotional issues or anything like that because all of them, and I'm sorry, I'm cooking in the background. I hope the noise ain't too much. But people can't say that it's because of the business of boxing because they all with the same guy.
Yeah.
So people constantly want to get on Eddie or his guy's not fighting on Alpha, his guy's not fighting. But meanwhile, Bob got that whole division, and ain't nobody really – he hasn't put them in there with anybody, man.
Nope. Sorry. Sure ain't. Yo, I mean, he had – you know, we got the thing there, featherweight – at one point, but he definitely has super featherweight, and so you got all those guys at super featherweight, and we still haven't, you know, seen any, you know, matches being booked or solidified, man. They didn't even announce, they just announced the thing for Burt Shelton Valdez for, like, February, but they ain't even announced the thing for Herring and Frampton, and Herring's been in camp over at Colorado Springs for at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm.
And they still haven't, you know, announced that yet. I'm like, yo, what's going on with that? You know? But yeah, Shakur, man, he's, you know, been, you know, I guess, out there talking a lot, man. What he said, talking about Buddy McGirt, talk all that shit, but still everybody else fighter act like he fixing some shit. When the last time you see Buddy McGirt start a fighter from scratch? Like, man. Boy.
Who said that?
There's a lot of trainers like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Shakur Stevenson said that. Funny thing is, like, Devin Haney agreed with him. Man, who else is doing that? Sergey Lipiets even agreed with him? Oh, boy. Yeah, that's crazy. But, yeah, he'll have to, you know, make some noise here this year, man. Have to see, like, if he does get one of those fights against the winner of Herring and Frampton or Burt Schelt versus Oscar Valdez there. So there's that. Hey, Jamil, you hear the thing from Cool Boy though recently with him preparing for his fight coming up?
I'm supposed to go down there this week and holler at Boots. So I know they train in the same gym. So I see what Cool Boy's looking like.
Yeah, because they'll have, I guess, a final thing there before they could, you know, go up to Uncasville for that fight. So, yeah, something there.
He's going to whip Angelo Leo bad, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, Leo ain't gonna. He ain't gonna, you know, really do much against Fulton in this one, man. So I thought, like, you know, he could have, you know, got that fight in the original date because, you know, I thought Fulton was, you know, really ready for that one, man. But had to wait until this time, so at least they got that, you know, at least they got that fight made up. I hadn't seen anything about they're supposed to have that Ubali Donaire fight made up. They're supposed to have the thing with White and Povetkin made up. I haven't done anything on that yet either. And then what is it? A couple weeks? What is it? About 3 weeks from now, you got what is the guy's name? Bekmetir going up against Sergey Kovalev, Bekmetir, and Malakuziev. He said, like, he's favored to get a knockout in that one.
Bro,
I was like, man.
Knows, if you ever watch that kid, he's going to stop Kovalev, bro. He's going to knock Kovalev in the next week.
So they couldn't put Kovalev against, they couldn't even put him up there against Dmitry Bivol, man. Because I don't know if Duva was going to try to make that fight. Because remember, they were on the same card when Kovalev got knocked out by Elidor Alvarez.
Ooh.
So I think that she was trying to match those two up, but in a unification bout. But since Kovalev got knocked out, that pretty much shot that down. So I was like, man, but yeah, they got Beck here. It's like 6-0, and they're already saying like he's gonna beat Sergey Kovalev down, man.
He gonna stop Kovalev, bro. We all know it. We all see it. You ever see that kid punch or spar? You like, oh, this is gonna be ugly. This is gonna be ugly.
Oh, he beat the so-called 2020 Fighter of the Year, Clay Collard.
Bro, dude is brutal, yo. He is brutal, like. But I want to talk about a situation between Eddie Hearn, Usyk, and Joshua. Eddie Hearn made a statement, right? That he said JR, I hope the noise ain't crazy, but we won't be held for ransom by Alexander Usyk, right? And I'm just sitting there.
He said that initially, yep.
He said, we can vacate all the belts. So, yo, I'm sitting there and I'm like, bro, ain't Usyk your fighter?
No, apparently not. Because he confirmed earlier
like
today,
he's
just like he's now out of contract with Matchroom.
Oh, he's out of contract. Oh, okay. Because it didn't. What was being said wasn't computing. So, okay. That's what the issue is. Gotcha.
Yep. So that's why he's like pushing for this thing for trying to have Joshua fight Fury, whether it's for the WBO belt on the line or not. Because he's like,
You notice how the energy changes now that dudes ain't signed with you. But guys like my man Bushido be talking about, the best fight, the best. And these promoters, they want to see the best fight. Like talking about Bob and Eddie, but dudes like him don't realize that they only want to see stuff like that when it's beneficial to them.
Right. They do in-house fights as much as they can, and that's pretty much the norm. So unless if they work with promoters that are, you know, lower on the totem pole, that's pretty much it, you know. So. Unless if it's like that, then you're not going to see that many fights with, you know, Matchroom and Top Rank like that, or Top Rank and you know, anyone who works with Tom Brown or advised by Al Heyman, you're not going to really see that. So, yeah, and that's what, you know, like he doesn't realize that when it comes to the thing with Spence and Crawford, because the money's not there. You're talking about the money is there.
The money's not there for
Spence and Crawford yet. Damn.
He's like, the money's there. The money is there. It's like, yo, bro, just because somebody has $20 million doesn't mean they want to invest $20 million in something that may not recoup $20 million back. It's not, you know what I'm saying?
And the thing about it is like, Mike, this is for like a potential bout between Ryan Garcia and Gervonta Davis. Like, he feels like that is a $20 million purse of a fight when we can't even get Spence and Crawford. And even that isn't going to garner no $20 million between those two fighters. You know, so.
Who feels that it's
Someone said that potentially Garcia and Davis could be a $20 million fight right now.
I feel like the purse is going to, that's going to be, end up being like, they're going to ask for like $10 million apiece from the zone. And remember, you got to remember, the zone is the people that gave Mikey Garcia $7 million to fight Jesse Vargas. So there's a
You think they learned from that, though?
No, I don't.
Well, they asked Canelo to get some money back, so maybe I think maybe they did.
They asked him to get some money back because he wanted to fight lesser guys, or what they consider lesser guys. Ryan versus Gervonta is a big fight. And I think that they will overpay for that fight.
I mean, it does have a lot of upside in terms of them talking smack, you know, a lot of demographics, cities coming against each other. What's his name? You know, and they are doing what they need to do in terms of publicizing the fight, you know, Mike Tyson, which he said a bunch of niggas on his show, which I'm like, this must be a, like a personal show, because he was like, nigga. it was quite funny, you know, him being different on a, you know, like a official show versus own show. He just felt real comfortable.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this nigga here, man, it's just, you know, preposterous, man. You know,
Ryan can't trash talk either.
Yeah, you can't.
You cannot, right?
It sounds awful.
Yeah, he does. Like, he listened to Dylan White trash talk. Like, why do people take that as a damn? Oh, like,
yeah.
Pretty whack.
Dillian White is awful in trash talking and in actual fighting.
Yeah, depending on who you put him up against, yeah.
Nah.
I mean, but I'm not sure, like, where that fight is going to, like, how that fight's going to materialize, though. Will DAZN be able to say, hey, we'll put up the money to, you know, make this happen? You know, I'd rather, you know, push for it as soon as possible than, you know, wait out for, you know, a few months. You know what I mean? I mean, I felt like, yo, I would want to see at least those two guys, like, fight somebody else first. But if they want to jump ahead and make this fight, then, hey, more power to them. You know, they want to say they want to get it on, then that's good.
For me, it's potentially the biggest fight in the last decade. Well, I'm sorry, outside of Pacquiao versus Floyd. You mean, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm talking about their appeal is outside of boxing. Like, they have fan bases that don't watch boxing. And once you have that, once you can once you can bring people who have no interest in boxing to watch your fight, now we're dealing with a different kind of money, right? People like Crawford and Smith.
Yeah.
Dealing with something else. You're dealing with potentially Pacquiao, Floyd, Oscar, Floyd Mayweather.
Oscar,
you're dealing
Floyd
with that.
Is what this is. Yeah. Yeah, that's a, you know, that's basically what I was saying as far as like this fight and what it could potentially be, because everybody sees that Tank is kind of like under the wing of Floyd, and Ryan Garcia is almost like a clone of Oscar De La Hoya, kind of like building them up to be that. So like they could just, if they have, like I said, with the reach that they have right now, yeah, they have the potential to make it a very big pay-per-view event,
Mm-hmm.
All you just need is the...
I'm sorry, Jerry.
Yeah?
Oh, I had a random comment. Yeah. I thought about what he said. To Jamil's point, though, I feel like I'm making an overgeneralization here.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the inner city, and it's a certain level of education that you get from the inner city that you learn a few different things. You learn that if you talk too much and you don't have the ability to overwhelm the person that you're talking to, that's a good recipe to get your ass whooped. So with that, though, if you can overwhelm the person that you talk to, you learn to talk a lot of shit. You know, like being in, mm-hmm. in a city, people talk crap to each other. I just see something different in that people hadn't had these lessons in how to talk shit to people. You know, like, I go play basketball now, and, in a different environment, obviously, but people don't know how to talk shit. Because when I talk shit, people get mad, because they don't know how to talk shit. Like, it's just like they're on this small level. And so I think that's sort of what's happening with Ryan Garcia. Like, let's go. This cookie-cutter shit-talking.
Yeah. That's
I just
terrible.
Feel like people don't get them lessons,
He was trying to sound like Ali. He was like, I'm pretty. I'm too pretty. And you need a Stairmaster. You need a Stairmaster to hit me. And it was like, bro, go watch wrestling. Like, learn how to do a promo. Like,
wrestling would have done better than that.
Yeah. But, fellas, I got to go for having me.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man.
I appreciate it.
All right.
The thing with Ryan Garcia is that he struggles to, try to talk up some things. So, that's the deal with him, man. So, they would need to, materialize a fight a little bit if they were, trying to get it jumping off, man. You know what I mean? So.
Or just keep it to the internet, because, everybody can talk crap on the internet. Just keep it, internet talking. And that's what people get riled up over anyway, internet beef.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what does it, out there sometimes. So, I'll see what happens with that. We'll probably get more news about it over the next, couple of weeks or something like that. So, like I was saying, I think it's going to be like one of the, better fights out there that they can make from a business perspective. It's just that how are they going to build the fight up? Is the key, so just wait on that, man. But with there, not really being that much action, kind of like we're talking about as many topics as there were out there possible, man. Wanted to draw this particular podcast to a close. We'll get right back at it. Hopefully next weekend on the 17th, man. Thanks to Jamil and Mike Grady to be on here on this particular podcast. And like I said, we'll have it always available through iTunes or Google Podcasts or Spotify. So if you subscribe, you'll be able to listen to this show and other shows that we've had so far. But like I say at the end of every show, folks, Point of Boxing is a hit, and I can hit, not the sand and trade. On that note, folks, I'm out. Have a good evening, everybody.